You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Detroit is the city that put the world on wheels. In post-World War II, that city was a booming, prosperous industrial center with millions of residents. But as the auto industry shrank, so did Detroit. By 2013, the city was billions of dollars in debt and under control of an emergency manager. And then in July of that year, then-Governor Rick Snyder made an important announcement.
Today, I authorize the emergency manager for the city of Detroit to seek federal bankruptcy protection.
Motor City is now the broke city. Detroit
has people have never seen a day like today. In an extraordinary step, Detroit's leaders said it's gone bust.
It's been in decline. And last night, it became the biggest U.S. city so far to file for bankruptcy.
The city emerged from bankruptcy some 17 months later, but the impact on the city and its people persists. Jody Adams-Kirshner is a research professor at New York University. Her special area of expertise is bankruptcy, and her new book explores the causes and effects of Detroit's bankruptcy by showing its impact on seven people. The title, Broke, Hardship and Resilience in a City of Broken Promises. Jody Adams-Kirshner, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you for having me.
You know, there's been a ton of reporting done on the Detroit bankruptcy. What is the new view you wanted to bring with this book?
And I think that after the bankruptcy, it was well covered in local national media, and then a lot of reporters packed up and went home without a lot of long-term analysis on what it meant, and especially a lot of long-term analysis on what it meant for the people living in Detroit and the human cost that bankruptcy really has.
And so you came to the city and followed seven people, with six people living in Detroit, and then there was a white property developer from Los Angeles. Did bankruptcy improve the lives of the six Detroiters in your book, do you think?
In talking to them over a long period and hearing their stories, I have to say that really know. If I were to come up with an example, over and over again, I heard people with construction skills. Miles was a contractor prior to the financial crisis, knew how to renovate houses, and just couldn't connect to the construction projects that were coming to downtown since the bankruptcy.
It was very heartbreaking as he's at a laundromat trying to, like, just solicit, like, passing out the resume, passing out cards, here I am. And what was the comment that, you know, Dan Gilbert and all of his people aren't at that laundromat doing their laundry?
It's a different kind of networking.
Yes, yes. What about the property developer from L.A.?
Who does move to Detroit during the course of the period that I was spending time with him. And now, his heart is in the right place. He wants to do meaningful projects for the city that are artistic and add something. And I think his experiences really show us the difficulty of coming in and rehabilitating a derelict property. At one point, he says that he has a dream that he can go into a Detroit property and come out a week later with it magically restored.
Yeah.
Because the reality he finds is so much cost and difficult to see profit at the end.
You have said, Jody Adams-Kirshner, you did not expect to be digging into a story that focused on real estate to the point that it did. But as I read Broke, it is so striking that the overwhelming thing that linked people's stories together, the desire to own a home. How does real estate represent the causes of Detroit's bankruptcy and how things have gone for people since it came out of bankruptcy in late 2014?
I mean, I think it does encapsulate very neatly the challenges that Detroit faced leading up to the bankruptcy and the challenges that it continues to face now. Detroit was very hard hit by subprime lending in the lead up to the financial crisis. That created great swaths of city properties in a sort of limbo that were ripe to be bought up by outside investors that have been frequently sold off in poor condition to residents through instruments without legal protections like land contracts. You also, on top of that, have a very strict state tax foreclosure law that has taken numerous houses out of private ownership and into the public ownership.
It's a big, big ongoing story here. And it was something that really jumped out at me that I remember when it was said and had forgotten. But you pulled out a quote from Kevin Orr, the lawyer appointed by then-Governor Rick Snyder to be Detroit's emergency manager. Basically, he got the keys to the car. It was, you know, taken away from elected leaders. He referred to Detroit in an interview, I'm quoting, dumb, lazy, happy, and rich. And what do you hear him saying in that?
I mean, I know what Charles, who is one of the people in the book, thought. I mean, I think it's easy to be in policy academic circles and not really think that it's such a big deal for people to have an emergency manager take over Democratic government. But when Charles heard that, it was somebody that he hadn't voted for. Really, he took it as an insult, and he took it as the day when a lot of hope for him died, that he lost something spiritually, in his words.
And it seemed like victim blaming going on as officials talk about the city struggling and the people who are struggling. I can see why that comment would have been a real gut punch to people who are anything but dumb, lazy, happy, and rich.
I think the concept of blame in a distressed city is problematic, that cities are at the end of a lot of very difficult trends facing our country: globalization, deindustrialization, suburbanization, and cuts of federal and state funding to cities that seem to land at the backs of the people that live there.
You have taught about bankruptcy, you've researched it, written about it, and you show us very skillfully how Detroit is that proverbial canary in a coal mine. There are many other cities that are struggling. So taking away the powers of elected officials and putting a city through bankruptcy, is that the answer for struggling cities?
You know, I want to be clear that bankruptcy is a tool. It is not a bad thing to have debt written down, to not have to spend as much money servicing the debt so that that money can go to services instead. But the idea that it's a solution and a cure-all and that we can just wipe our hands of responsibility for cities across America because of bankruptcy, I hope that the seven lives that the book chronicles show us what bankruptcy still can't accomplish, and that the hard work of combating individual poverty has to come first.
You really do a skillful job, I think, Jody Adams Kirshner, of helping us walk in the shoes of people who are, you know, trying to make lives work in Detroit. And hardship and resilience is absolutely what it's about. That book is Broke, Hardship and Resilience in a City of Broken Promises. Jody Adams Kirshner will be launching her book with an event tonight at Wayne State University's Law School. It's at 7 p.m. It's a free event in conjunction with Pages Bookshop and the Detroit Equity Action Lab. It should be a great evening, and you can get details, just go to the Pages Bookshop website. Jody, thank you for spending time with us on Stateside today.
Thank you for having me.